My guest at this time is Matt Kibbe. He is the president and CEO of FreedomWorks, a critical factor in the rise and success of the Tea Party movement over the past few years. We want to get Matt's reaction today to the deal that passed both the House and Senate to restore funding to the government and raise the debt ceiling until early next year. Matt is also the author of an opinion piece on FoxNews.com entitled "Establishment Republicans Have Given Up. It's Time for the Rest of Us to Do Their Job." And Matt, thanks so much for being with us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Obviously, the critique in here is that you believe the Republicans didn't stick in with this fight to dismantle Obamacare in some form or fashion, and instead the Democrats essentially got everything they wanted at the end of the last fiscal year and then some. So why do you believe it's time for a different strategy and not relying on a big chunk of elected Republican officials to get the work done that conservatives want to see done?
You know, I think the problem from the very beginning of this process is you had a divide within the GOP between those that were willing to avoid any confrontation on the budget at any cost, and those like Ted Cruz and Mike Lee and a growing number of Republicans that wanted to fight for something meaningful, wanted to do what they said they were going to do in their last election. And I think that was our Achilles heel from day one, because more establishmentarian types like John McCain and John Cornyn started shooting at their own instead of all of us focusing our message on the Democrats and their huge liability that is Obamacare. So I think you see this clash going on, and it's not just happening in the Republican Party, but more and more Americans are participating more and more in the policy process because of the internet and talk radio and everything else. And I think we just have to push harder because we're not there yet.
Matt, what do you say to those, and you get this argument a lot from the folks who didn't like the Cruz-Lee strategy but consider themselves conservatives? They say, look, we hate Obamacare. We want to see it go, too. We just don't have the votes right now. The election, unfortunately, didn't go our way in 2012, so we just don't have the ability to make the changes we all would love to make right now.
I've been in Washington long enough that I've noticed this pattern where politicians tell you that we have to wait until after the next election to do what we said we were going to do, and there's always another election, and they always say, no, it's too hard to take on entitlements. It's too hard to take on Obamacare. You know, John Cornyn, the head of the Senatorial Committee, actually argued in 2010 that fighting Obamacare was a political loser. So there's a pattern here that perhaps not everybody has noticed. And I think there's an upside to fighting. And Tip O'Neill, the famous Democratic speaker, proved that when he shut down the government some 12 times to challenge both President Carter and Reagan on his budget priorities. And we've lost that willingness to fight, and it's not easy reigning in government. But the question is, if you don't like the strategy that Lee and Cruz came up with, I didn't see another one on the table, and not fighting's not an option.
Matt, in this column, you talk a lot about the fiscal problems facing this country, and obviously your disenchantment with the way the establishment Republicans have dealt with it recently, as well as over a number of years. But in terms of how to go about that, the only line I see in here about that is looking for principled primary challengers. Is that what FreedomWorks will be actively engaged in heading into 2014 here?
I do think that we need to look for upgrades in both the Democratic and Republican Party. And if you look at the electoral map in 2014, you're definitely going to see some establishment Republicans challenged, like we did in 2012 and 2010. And you're also going to see upgrades in open seats and pickup seats with Democrats. The conservative nature of the Republican caucus has increased in the last two cycles, even in 2012, which was hardly a banner year for Republicans. And I think we need to continue to do that. You got to find politicians that are not only principled, but willing to work with the interests outside the Beltway, because once you get to this town, it has a very corrupting influence.
Matt, there's certainly a number of target seats for conservatives in the upcoming election, and some of which, as you mentioned, include incumbent Republicans like Lindsey Graham, South Carolina, Lamar Alexander, Tennessee. Some believe Mitch McConnell, Kentucky, and just today, another conservative organization endorsed a guy named Chris McDaniel, who may or may not be facing Senator Cochran. Cochran hasn't made up his mind about whether he wants to run again. Do you see yourselves getting involved in some of those battles?
Yeah, I think we probably will, and it really depends on whether or not the activists are able to coalesce around a candidate that we think has the right skill set and the right values to win. I think one of the things we learned in 2012 is to choose our battles carefully and make sure that the combination of practical political skills and real principles is there. And when that exists and when the activists are willing to fight, you end up with senators like Marco Rubio or Ted Cruz or Rand Paul or Mike Lee. All of those guys are huge upgrades from where we were just a couple of years ago, and we got to keep adding to that caucus.
Do you sense that there are already some of those folks in some of these contests, and are there any Republican incumbents that you're particularly keen on seeing not get reelected?
You know, it's still pretty early, and I'm looking at states like South Carolina and where Lindsey Graham is vis-a-vis his Republican primary voters, and I think there's a real opportunity there. I think Mitch McConnell's in trouble, particularly after the last couple of days and this special sweetheart deal that was tucked into the bill in earmark for Kentucky. But all that said, it's a little early to see who's competitive and who's not. And our model is really dependent on grassroots from the bottom up. And I think activists create these opportunities, and we'll see over time where those fights are actually going to emerge.
Despite the outcome in this latest fiscal debate, do you believe that the effort made by the likes of Cruz and Lee have either A, fired up the base, or B, expanded it? What are your thoughts on those two possibilities?
You know, it's always unpopular being the skunk at the garden party that says, you know what, we got to stop spending money we don't have. It doesn't make sense to borrow money to fund a healthcare program that doesn't work. But I think both of them expanded their reach, built the community, and as we see the actual implementation of Obamacare hurt actual people that are herded into the exchanges, even though they were promised that they could keep the health care that they had, young people that will be forced to buy something they can't afford, and others that will see their jobs cut or their premiums increase. All of those real factors are going to prove us right and the Democrats wrong as we go into 2014.
Matt, I'm guessing you're not super optimistic about this budget conference committee that's expected to convene and have recommendations for a longer-term blueprint by mid-December, but if you could advise the Republicans or the Democrats on that committee about what they should be pursuing, what would you tell them?
Well, you know, we've been kicking the can down the road so many times in the last couple of years, and the basic budget process has been abandoned a long time ago. I would love to see tax simplification and fundamental tax reform. I would love to see entitlement reform that dealt with both costs and the fact that young people are forced into these systems that really have no realistic expectation of working by the time they retire. The important thing about mandatory spending is that the changes have to be real. They can't come up with some hypothetical deal that sets aggregate numbers. The specific changes in the law are everything. Can they do that by the end of the year? If history serves as any lesson, the answer is no.
Last question for you. What was your reaction to the president's comments today that America's sick of politics and conservatives need to stop paying so much attention to talk radio, the blogosphere, and all these other influences that are obviously sending a very different message than he's trying to convey?
I think everybody, starting with the president, realizes that the world is changing and Americans have better access to more information. They're able to organize through social media, and that's shifting power away from Washington, D.C. He's nervous about it. I think his party's nervous about it, and he's probably preemptively trying to avoid a 2014 outcome that will look like 2010. And I think there is this perfect storm: the IRS abuses, the NSA abuses, the implementation of Obamacare should be an opportunity for conservatives to do extremely well going into 2014 and create a referendum against this big government power grab.
Well, just about a year away from that big election day, and a lot of work I'm sure that you and others will be doing in the meantime. Matt, thank you very much for being with us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Matt Kibbe is President and CEO at FreedomWorks. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.